11, 2 Samuel chapter number 11 tonight. We're going to look at the story that David and Bathsheba, but we're going to look at it from a little bit of a different twist to it. So 2 Samuel chapter number 11, many years ago I heard a preacher was here. It was Brother Brian preached the first sermon I ever heard on Uriah. And I know we've heard sermons about Uriah, and we know, probably most of us know who Uriah is. We're going to figure out, if you don't, we're going to find out here in a little while. And talked about Uriah as the main focal point of the sermon. And it spoke to my heart, and I know as we were going through 2 Samuel again, and we're coming up to this chapter talking about David and the sin with Bathsheba, a lot of people talk about David, and we're going to look at that. We might even look on it Sunday night instead of Wednesday nights, because it's something I think I'd like for everyone to hear and the young people to hear. Talk about his sin, about how he stayed home when he should have went, and how he was being lazy, it seems like, at the time of day, getting up off his bed, and all those different things. And then talk about Bathsheba and her part in it, whether, you know, she should have been bathing in that spot where other people could see, all those different things. You hear a lot of sermons about the dangers of sin and how far it can take you and all those things, and that's all true. But there's one person that's left out sometimes that is a really interesting thought, is Uriah. If I remember correctly, from a number of years ago when Brother McBride, his title of his sermon was something, does it matter if I'm faithful? Does it matter if I'm faithful? And talk about the story of Uriah. And tonight I'd like to look at Uriah's faithfulness a little bit, just kind of so you know where it came from. And I don't, like I said, it stuck out in my heart and mind. Some of you might even remember that. I think it was on Memorial Day a number of years ago where he preached about Uriah, and it's just an interesting thought, and so this is my thought about Uriah, and I think it could be an encouragement and help to you, Uriah's faithfulness. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 39, it's talking about David's mighty men, and David's talking about the some of the different things as he's saying, in a sense, his last words, and it says, Uriah the Hittite, 30 and 7 in all, talking about David's mighty men. So tonight, instead of looking at David and Bathsheba in this chapter, we'd like to read through the story and look at it from Uriah's standpoint. Did Uriah's faithfulness count? I don't know if you ever felt like this before, if you've been really, really faithful and you've done what's right and things do not turn out the same way, you might throw up your hands and say, does it matter? You turn around and the devil comes to you and tells you that you're a fool. Like, for instance, if you show kindness to somebody and they turn around and take advantage of you, yes. Yeah, why do it? Or if you are faithful and then someone becomes unfaithful to you. Or if you try to do right and it still turns out wrong. It, you know, comes to the spot and you feel like, does it really matter if I'm faithful? Does it matter if the child's God is faithful? The devil will tell you you're wasting your life being faithful to the Lord. And you're going to see here in this story that tonight Uriah looks like a fool. Looks like he's one being taken advantage of. I want you to, hopefully from tonight, we can look at this and say, you know what? It's always right to be faithful and how God will remember those that are faithful. Let's go ahead and jump into this. We're going to have to read the story a little bit, and then we're going to read verses 1 through 11 and 14 through 17, and we'll give you a little bit of commentary. We're not looking at it from the angle of what David did wrong and what Bathsheba did wrong and where it took them, but instead, we're looking at Uriah, one of David's mighty men, one of David's soldiers that are out there fighting in the battle, fighting for the glory of God and for their country and for their family. It says in chapter number 11, verse number 1, and it came to pass the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. It's kind of saying this is the time of year that they would go fight. It wasn't winter time anymore. It was a time where it was more convenient for them to fight. That David sent Joab and his servants with him. And you see here that it says when kings go forth in battle, David is the king. He should be in battle. But instead he sends his captain and he stays home. And he says, sent his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the church of the children of Amnon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent inquired after the woman, and one said, Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? Now Eliam is one of David's chief counselors, a friend of David. It's his granddaughter, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And I'm sorry, the daughter, not the granddaughter, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So it's not only is it as a friend of yours' daughter, but also one of your mighty men's wife. And you would think that would send up red flags. I don't want to mess with this woman. But this shows you what lust can do and what happens with lust. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. So they committed adultery together. Verse number 5, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. So after they commit adultery, a child is conceived. She tells David, and David sent to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. So David's going to try to cover up his sin by getting Uriah to go home and lay with his wife. So that way everyone's going to think the child is Uriah's. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did. So he makes it sound like that he wants Uriah to give a report. This is nothing but a hoax. He's just interested in making Uriah not suspicious. And how the people did and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. That was kind of like a sign of honor, respect. He wanted them to enjoy his time with his family. But it says in verse number 9, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and went not down to his house. So instead of Uriah going home and spending time with his wife, like David was anticipating, he says, no, I'm going to stay here and be a servant and then sleep with the servants. Verse number 10, and when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine house? Now you see here, Uriah has the answer, and Uriah here, I believe, is showing great character. He is saying that, hey, I don't feel like right to be going down to my house when everyone else is out on the battlefield. Now, this could be a little bit of a shot at David. I don't think it really is, but this is how he feels. He has greater convictions right now than David does in his life. And it says, Uriah said unto David, the ark, which represents God, and Israel, which represents his people, and the laborers, and Judah, and abide in tents, and my lord Joab, and the servants of my lord, are encamped in open fields. They're in a very dangerous area. They're serving, they're fighting. And he says, shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife as thou livest and as thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing. He says, I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. I should be out on the battlefield. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today also. Now, David is king. He tells Uriah to do something. He's going to do it. But he stays another day. And tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. So he stayed. And when David had called him, so things did not go his way. So David decides he's going to try one more time. He did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. He got him drunk, hoping that he would then go to his wife. And even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. Verse 14, the Bible says, and it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. So David knows that he's not going to be able to get Uriah to go to his wife. So instead, he's going to try to cover it up another way. So he writes this letter. I can see him writing the letter, and then he stamps the letter with his seal. He hands it to Uriah, and it says in the letter, verse 15, he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew the valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God to help us tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, sometimes it can become overwhelming. Sometimes it can seem like it's not making a difference. But in this story, you see a man who's remembered by you, a man who's just being faithful to his family and to his country and to his God. Lord, I believe you're going to reward his faithfulness and have already rewarded his faithfulness. And Lord, I pray you help us to be faithful, even though the devil tries to tell us it doesn't make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first point I want you to see here is the faithfulness of Uriah. The faithfulness of Uriah. There's some different people he's faithful to. First of all, I think about how he's faithful to his wife. So, well, he didn't go down to his wife. Well, when David brought him home, David knew something about Uriah. David knew that he wasn't going to go out just gallivanting around. David thought he was going to go home to his wife and spend time with his wife. I think that shows that Uriah loved his wife and Uriah loved his family and that Uriah was going to go home. I think he was a faithful husband. Next thing I want you to think about, not only was he faithful to his family, he was faithful to the king. He imagined that David had the audacity to write this letter to Joab saying, I want you to put Uriah to death. He takes it, he folds it, he probably seals it. He hands it to Uriah, knowing that Uriah is a mighty man. He will never open that letter. That's how faithful he was to his king. Then I think about how he was faithful to his commander. Now, does Joab know where the mighty men are? He says he knew where the heat of the battle is, the fire of the battle, where the valiant men were. He was faithful to his commander because you don't see anywhere in the story that Uriah says, well, I don't want to go there. That's a dangerous spot. He said, well, it's because Joab was a mighty man. Joab was a seasoned veteran. So was Uriah. Uriah knew exactly where he was going. He knew exactly where the battle was. And Uriah knew that it would have been a dangerous spot where he had left. And it talks about how he was faithful to him. I also think you can see here a faithfulness to God, a faithfulness to his God. How come he didn't want to go home? And the first thing he says here, he says at the verse number 11, he said unto David, the ark. And what does the ark do? It represents the presence of God. The ark is sitting in tents and it's in an open field and you want me to go home. He says, no. I need to be where God is. It's a matter of priority with Uriah. And at this point in his life, he is much more faithful of a man than David is. And we're going to talk about David later. We're not comparing David to Uriah. David did a lot of great and wonderful things. He messes up in this chapter. But I want you to see here that Uriah in this story is being faithful to everyone. He's being faithful to his family. He's being faithful to his king. He's being faithful to his commander. He's being faithful to God. Next thing I want you to see is faithfulness can make you look foolish to some people. Faithfulness can make you look like you're foolish to some people. What do you get at? Well, you read this chapter and you think about it. If you read this chapter and you saw all the things that happened, you know, David had an adulterous affair with his wife, and then David turns around and uses Joab to put this man to death. It looks like he's a fool for doing what's right. It looks like he's a fool for being faithful. Why in the world would he want to do this? He makes it look like he's been made a fool to everyone he's trusted. His king, his wife who had committed adultery with David, his king had adultery and committed murder. His commander sent him to battle and signed it. Not only did he follow out the orders, and you could come to the spot and you say, where is God in all this? Why didn't God step in? You know, he's being made to look like he is a fool. I tell you, sometimes in our Christian life, sooner or later, we're going to get hurt. Sooner or later, someone's going to fail you. Someone's going to hurt you. Things do not turn out the way you think they should, and someone you trusted turns your back on you, and you look foolish. The devil's going to come right along and say, you are a fool for serving God. The devil's going to come along and saying, you're a fool for being faithful. You're a fool for just staying faithful to God despite all these bad things that happen. You may look foolish to others, and the devil will tell you that you're a fool for staying faithful, but faithfulness to God is going to look foolish to some people. You ever been there before where somebody says you're foolish for serving God? You ever been to a spot, maybe inside your own home, you don't have to go to church, you don't have to be kind to that person, just cheat on your taxes, or just do this, it's not a big... You look foolish to those that do not know what it means to be faithful to God. Uriah here, you can see, he is faithful, and in the world's eyes, you look at this story, you say, well, Uriah played the fool. Uriah's wife didn't care enough about him. His king that he loved so much didn't care enough about him. His commander that he trusted so much didn't care about him. And obviously, his God didn't step in, so he's the fool. That's what the devil is going to tell you. Third thing I want you to see is faithfulness matters to God. Faithfulness matters to God. In Matthew chapter number 1, God remembers Uriah. You say, Matthew chapter number 1. Well, in Matthew chapter number 1, you have the lineage of Christ. It's the proof that Jesus Christ came through the line of David. But when they come to the spot in David, it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 6, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, listen, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. So in this story, you see that God remembers Uriah. Now, you say, well, that's just to embarrass David. Well, somebody can make an argument for that. But we've seen before in the passages of Scripture, such as Psalms 32, Psalms 51, David gets his heart right with God. What does God say he does with those sins? He says he remembers them no more. I think, for me, I'm thinking that the Lord is remembering Uriah and remembering the faithfulness of Uriah. Even though he's not a blood relative, he is mentioned here. I don't think he's bringing up the sin to remind us how wicked David was on that fateful few days. I think he's saying God counts faithfulness as important. And it never goes unnoticed. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 4:2? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God doesn't ask us to do the supernatural. He allows us to do it sometimes with him. God doesn't ask us to be the biggest and the best. What he says is, I want you to be faithful. So I think that faithfulness truly matters to God, and I can only imagine the reward that Uriah had waiting for him in heaven, and someday has waiting for him still. Why is that? It's because he was faithful. Even though he might have been looked foolish to other people, I think he would have been precious in the eyes of God. Fourth thing I want you to think about is faithfulness comes from understanding grace. Faithfulness comes from understanding grace. Not only did you see Uriah's faithfulness, not only did you see that faithfulness made him look foolish to some, and that faithfulness matters to God, faithfulness comes from understanding grace. How can a man be faithful like this? How can a man be so bent on duty that he would be willing to do this and always just stand up straight and say, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do? How can we learn to be faithful when it seems like people are taking advantage of us, when people are not being kind to us, when we're being kind, and when people are not doing right, when we're trying to do what's right? How can we do that? See, we understand that we're faithful not because of what other people do. We're faithful because we understand what grace is. Why would a man like this remain faithful during this time? Why would he not look at Joab and say, you know, if I go there, I'm going to die? He wants to be faithful to the end. It matters because of the grace. Now, you see here, oftentimes, when you see this word Uriah, or Urias, his name, it's attached, there's a little two words after it. It's the Hittite. See, Uriah was not someone from the nation of Israel. He was not someone that was of the seed of Abraham. In all reality, if you go back and you study the different spots when God spoke to Abraham, he said that you're going to take the land of the Hittites. If you go back and look at what he said to Moses, he told Moses, you're supposed to destroy all the Hittites. You go back and look at what he said to Joshua. They were supposed to destroy all the Hittites. It was not just the Hittites. It was the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, you know, all types of people that were in that list. But the Hittites were always mentioned there. They were a cursed people. They were not supposed to be alive still. Who were they supposed to destroy? It was the Hittites. They were all supposed to be dead. They were a cursed people. Remember, sin always brings judgment. You say, well, that just doesn't seem fair. Why would all those nations have to be destroyed? And we're not going to get into it tonight, but sin brings judgment and sin. And because of their sin, God said they need to be destroyed. Now, as a nation, the Hittites should be gone because they're under the judgment of God. They ought to be a dead, but you see this man's name pop up. I think that's interesting. Not only does it pop up here, it pops up underneath that he's married. It says he's married to a very beautiful woman that has a heritage inside of David's council. He's associated with David. Not only is he associated with David, he is one of David's mighty men. Not only is he one of David's mighty men, he is actually on the battlefield fighting for the nation of Israel, fighting for the land of Israel. So I can only conclude one thing, that at some point in time, whether it had been him or his dad or his granddad or his great-grandfather, understood who the one true God was and put their faith and trust in the one true God. They became a proselyte of the nation of Israel. They believed in the one true God. And this is a help to us that you can know that there's, even though a nation is under the judgment of God, there's individuals that can get right. People say in the stories, well, it would have been wrong for all those countries to have been killed and destroyed. But we see God offered grace to Rahab. And we see God offering grace to Ruth, the Moabitess. Here we see that somehow, somewhere, even though we do not know where the story is, we see that Uriah the Hittite came in an encounter with the one true God and put his faith and trust in him. And you see, you look and say, what's the big deal about that? Well, hopefully we understand it. Because we as a people are under a death sentence. We are a cursed people. We are cursed with sin. And the grace that God offers us and the grace that God shows to us is the reason why we are faithful. It's not based off the fact that David was the greatest king or he had a really beautiful wife or his father-in-law was known as this or that. All those different. No. It was because he understood that he did not deserve to be there. He had got to experience things that he should have never experienced. Death was what he was supposed to have happen to him. And it's the same truth concerning you and I. There are some who have been hurting, but the truth of God, the truth is that we serve God because he's good to us. And if God did not do one more thing for us for the rest of our lives, he has done enough for us, if you're a Christian and on your way to heaven, that we should serve him today and for the rest of our lives and throughout all eternity. See, that's why Uriah did it. That's why he was faithful. See, it's lost sometimes because people like to preach on sin and the dirty little secrets and how bad sin is. And that is true. And it is something that's important. We're going to talk about, you know, how far sin will take you. But in this passage of Scripture, you see that he is being faithful because he understands the grace of God. If you're saved, we ought to serve him. Is this easy? No. To be honest with you, it'd be much easier to give up sometimes. It might be easier to say, I've been wronged too many times. I know there are times when I do that. I know there's times when I struggle with this. But faithfulness comes when we understand grace. And that's why we continue to be faithful. Uriah versus David. I think death is not the worst thing that can happen to a Christian. You think about some of the things that God's grace stopped him from experiencing. Can you imagine if Uriah died? When Uriah died, he died fighting for his country, fighting for a king he loved. Imagine if Uriah had lived and he went back and he found out that David did this with his wife, found out that the child was not his, but David's. Imagine that he may have become bitter. Imagine he could have went and had grief. I think God spared him from some things here. And you think about it, David seems like he's the one that gets off. It seems like David's the one that got everything his way. But David, from this point in time, for the rest of his life, is going to have trial after trial after trial. He's going to be the one that hears that the baby's going to die. He's going to be the one that's going to be called out by Nathaniel or Nathan. He's going to be the one that hears that his daughter was raped, that his son, his beloved son, was going to try to steal the kingdom. He's going to be the one that hears trial after trial after trial, where Uriah was in heaven throughout all that. Excuse me, Uriah was in that place of Abraham's bosom throughout all that. You know, I don't know how to say it any better than this, that God's grace is sufficient, even though it seems like we're getting the raw end of the deal. Last but not least, and this is probably my favorite part, being faithful during hard times gives us a chance to look like Jesus. Being faithful during hard times gives us a chance to look like Jesus. And a couple things here. You think about this. Uriah died to cover the sin of another. Why did Uriah die? To cover the sins of Bathsheba and David. Uriah was forsaken in his death. says that he was up there, and they called people. He was forsaken by Joab and by the other warriors. I think it could be even say that Uriah was led as a lamb to the slaughter, carrying his own death sentence in his hand. Uriah was betrayed by a friend, just as Jesus was. Just as Jesus died to cover the sins of others, and just like Jesus was forsaken, just like Jesus was as a lamb led to the slaughter, just as Jesus was betrayed by his friend, you see this story, I see Jesus in Uriah's life. I see Christ. And when it looks like the worst time of his life, Uriah ends up looking like Jesus dying on the cross. Now, there is no power in his blood. We sing about the power in the blood. But there are types of Christ. And even though you don't usually hear this as a type of Christ, I remember Brother McBride using this as a type of Christ and thinking, that's interesting. But think about this. Maybe the devil fights us so hard when we feel like we've been wronged, is because it's the greatest opportunity for us to reflect Jesus Christ. Maybe the devil fights us so hard, and when we're wrong, he tells us we're foolish. He tells us that we are naive. He tells us all these things to be faithful to God during this time. Because he knows that when we've been wronged and when we've been hurt, it's the greatest opportunity we have to reflect Jesus Christ to others. See, when our hearts is broken, it's the best opportunity to look like Jesus. Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. So what do we learn from all this? I think it's kind of interesting that most people focus on David and Bathsheba. But in this story, you see a man who's being faithful to the end. I've had my heart broken before. I'm going to have it broken again. I do not minimize hard times, because compared to what some of you go through, my life is easy. But I also understand that God wants us to be faithful, and we believe and trust in him, even though it may look like foolishness to everyone else. Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit? Remember, faithfulness is important to God. He will remember, just as he remembered Uriah's in Matthew chapter number 1. Just as I believe he remembers him and his reward for heaven. Remember, if we truly want to be faithful, we got to remember the grace of God. What God saved us from, what God saved us for, and what we have the future. Because we were like Uriah, we should not experience any of the good things. We are a cursed people because of sin. But thankful that Jesus Christ saved us. Thankful that grace was extended to Uriah and he accepted and believed. And last but not least, during the hard times, when we're faithful, other people see it. And that's when they see Christ in us. And as we close tonight, that's what I want. I want people to see Christ in me. I've been looking at this passage of scripture for a little while, figuring out who to preach about first. The obvious choice would have been about David and, you know, the deceitfulness of sin. And that's what we're going to look at on Sunday night. But I like this story of Uriah because I want to be faithful. Because I know there are going to be people in this world that treat us wrong. There are going to be people in this world that treat us unfairly, unjustly. They're going to hurt us. Sometimes they're going to even try to hurt us on purpose. They're going to mock us. They're going to laugh at us. But you know what? Faithfulness matters to God. And that's who we're living for. Because God's grace teaches us to be faithful. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.